Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May 12th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: is it transitory? On shaky ground, and restart deadline. Leading today's news: get ready for some early action this morning as the Consumer Price Index for April is published at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The figure is expected to be the hottest in nearly a decade, rising 3.6% year over year, though economists have cautioned that the jump could appear larger due to the base effects of 2020 when prices were weak amid pandemic shutdowns. The Fed has also maintained that the pickup in inflation will be transitory, but traders in financial markets don't appear to be so sure. How is CPI calculated? The measure uses a basket of goods approach that aims to compare the costs of various consumer goods and services. These can include transportation, food, rent, haircuts, and medical care. 80,000 items are included in the report. Each month, data collectors from the Bureau of Labor Statistics call, visit, or check the websites of thousands of retail stores, professional offices, and other establishments to assess nationwide price information. Specialists then examine the data for accuracy and make statistical adjustments based on any given item's value. The anticipated 3.6% jump in the headline number for April would be the largest since September 2011, and follows a 2.6% year-over-year print last month, which already was above the Fed's inflation target. On a core basis, excluding food and energy, the CPI is expected to have increased by 0.3%, or 2.3% year-over-year. I just think that in general, there's this thought that inflation may rear its ugly head, said J.J. Kinahan, chief market strategist at TD Ameritrade. We see a little bit higher rates, not significantly, but a bit higher rates, and I think this struggle between value and growth also continues at the same time. Outlook: investors have already seen widespread price increases on commodities like copper and lumber, while the bond market's forecast for inflation over the next decade has risen substantially. That's helped trigger swings in the stock market, sending the CBOE Volatility Index on Tuesday to its highest level since March. Meanwhile, executive usage of the word inflation has increased 800% in Q1 earnings calls, according to the Bank of America, while last week's big jobs report miss is being viewed as a sign that companies will have to raise wages to lure more unemployed people into the workforce. In other news, volatility is still reigning high in the markets, with Wall Street's best fear gauge, known as the VIX, hitting levels yesterday that haven't been seen in 2 months. The index traded as high as 23.73 intraday, as concerns about inflation spread to other areas of the market, with the Dow losing 473 points to end the day down 1.4%. The Nasdaq, meanwhile, rebounded from earlier losses of 2%, but the buy-on-dip crowd couldn't push the index into the green before the close. Things aren't looking better this morning. Stock index futures are all off by about 0.4% ahead of an inflation report that could shake markets once again. Fears about a sustained jump in inflation have particularly weighed on growth stocks, including those in the tech sector that were popular during the pandemic. Cyclical shares have meanwhile climbed on expectations of a full economic reopening, but those gains could also be challenged in the new price environment. Quote, "Everyone who is involved in the markets knows that the inflation data is running hot," said Jonathan Golub, Credit Suisse's chief U.S. equity strategist. "The debate right now, is this temporary or is this something stickier? And we won't know for a long time, but that's really where the conversation is going." Go deeper. If the latest price rise is mostly commodity-driven, the future will largely depend on how long those inputs keep rising. For example, the demand that ensued following the 2009 economic rebound pushed up global inflation for 2 years, until commodity markets topped out. This time around, Raw materials aren't the only factor fueling inflation, given the shortages of everything from electronics to cars, as well as logistical log jams. That's on top of pent-up demand from the pandemic, as consumers take out their wallets and the government entertains the idea of trillions more in federal spending. Operators of the Colonial Pipeline will know by late Wednesday whether it's safe to restart flows of fuel following a crippling cyber attack last week that shuttered the 5,500-mile conduit. Even when the pipeline is restored to full service, it'll take about 2 weeks for gasoline stored in Houston to reach East Coast filling stations, while heavier diesel and jet fuel will take even longer, about 19 days. The national average of retail gasoline prices has already risen above the politically sensitive level of $3 a gallon for the first time in 6 years, adding to broader inflationary pressures. More than 1,000 gas stations in the Southeast have reportedly run out of fuel, while premium for wholesale gasoline in the New York area reached its widest in 3 months. Crude processors are also being forced to reduce run rates, while refiners are booking ships to store growing fuel stockpiles. Steps taken. Emergency shipments of gasoline and diesel from Texas are on the way to southeastern cities via trucks, as the White House relaxed some environmental rules to help bring in more fuel. The Department of Transportation is meanwhile considering a temporary waiver of the Jones Act that could permit foreign tankers to transport gasoline and diesel to the East Coast ports. With Colonial only managing to restart a small segment of the pipeline as a stopgap measure, the EPA has additionally allowed the sale of gasoline that doesn't satisfy requirements meant to help combat smog in certain areas. Outlook. Corporations are trying to figure out what to do given the situation. Southwest Airlines has begun flying supplies to Nashville, Tennessee, and other cities, while United Airlines loaded extra fuel on flights to preserve local supplies in places like Baltimore and South Carolina. Shares of retailers like Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, and Target also traded lower yesterday as investors showed some anxiety over the future of gas prices and stimulus drying up. As it looks to deepen its presence in the electric car market, Renault is considering introducing battery swapping capabilities, which would significantly cut waiting times at charging stations. "It's not decided, but I see it as an interesting opportunity," CEO Luca De Meo told the Financial Times. "We need to find a pragmatic solution, but from a business point of view, there's a point separating the battery from the car." The French automaker is part of the Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance, which is one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world and a leader in EVs. Think of pioneering Leaf and best-selling Zoe. Backdrop. Interestingly enough, Renault was once a trailblazer in battery-swapping technology for electric vehicles. Starting in 2010, the carmaker became the primary partner for Better Place, an Israeli startup that hoped to revolutionize the e-mobility industry. The company initially set up shop in Israel, Denmark, and Hawaii, but was plagued by financial difficulties and mismanagement, and eventually went bankrupt in 2013. Tesla also began conducting its own battery swapping trials in 2013, but it dropped the project a few years later as consumers increasingly expressed interest in its supercharger network. While the process seems simple, making a business out of swapping is a bit complicated. Batteries are the single most expensive component in any EV, but they're still in a rapid stage of development and manufacturers have been reluctant to standardize anything. In fact, at Tesla's Battery Day event last September, the EV maker said it plans to integrate batteries into structural elements of future cars, comparing them to the fuel tanks located within the wings of an airplane. Enter NIO. The Chinese EV maker just recorded a milestone of 2 million battery swaps to date and plans to double its Chinese network to more than 500 stations in 2021. Each NIO battery swap takes only a few minutes and comes with a full charge, compared to the 35 minutes it takes a supercharger to load a Tesla battery from 10% to 80%. It's even slower at home. Besides quicker turnaround times, battery swapping technology also allows EV makers to decouple the costs of batteries from their vehicles, meaning drivers aren't worried about depreciating battery capacity or the value of their cars. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures and gold are all set to open in the red, with crude oil and Bitcoin slightly up. On today's economic calendar, EIA petroleum inventories are out at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.